Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Good morning and welcome to another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. I appreciate my audience that has joined us this morning, and I give you an invitation to stay with us for the next 30 minutes and to be here each week at this same time as we take a look into God's holy word and spend some time together around the word of God. Well, let me start by giving you my church announcements. They're at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle where Brother Rick Smeltzer is the pastor. We are located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. And we have our Sunday school Sunday morning starting at 9:45, and then Sunday evening at 6, Wednesday evening at 7. And we invite you to come and be in any of these services that you could. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still believe the Word of God, still preach the Word of God out of the King James Bible, and give you an invitation to come and be part of that. If you like that kind of relationship with the Lord, just good old-fashioned loving the Lord and doing what we can for Him, then come and join us. Then on the second Sunday in September, we will begin our camp meeting there on the church grounds, and then give you an invitation to come. We'll have different preachers every night, different singers, and there will be special singing. And so we do and give you an invitation to come and ask you if you'd like to come and be a part of that, an old-fashioned camp meeting. I believe the Lord will bless you if you do that. As we listen to the theme song this morning, Lift Up Your Head, Redemption Draweth Nigh. Folks, the Lord is coming soon. I don't know if you saw the news clip it this past week. They only put it on one time, then they took it off. That Kamala Harris has said that it's time for the United States to rethink its friendship with Israel. So I think we're about the last remaining ally that they've got. When we've turned against them, the scene will be set for the man of sin to come on the scene. And just before that happens, Jesus is coming for his church. Friend, if you're not ready, I would advise you to get ready soon. If you are a child of God, then lift up your head, for certainly our redemption draweth nigh. We'll soon be out of this mess, and the Lord Jesus Christ will soon rule supreme over this earth. Now we're going to have a song, and then we'll be back with today's message, continuing our series on the camping and the memorials at Gilgal. Thank you. Well, that was Merlin Williams, and I believe the group was called Still Blessed at that time. And his song there, God's Hand Reached Further Down Than I Could Reach Up. Certainly, this morning we could never reach high enough to reach God on our own. But thank God we're not so low that God cannot reach us. And, oh my, when I think about that, I think about how that God has reached down and pulled me up and saved me. And, to think that such as one as I could be called a child of God is just, it's beyond comprehension. And, I can never thank him enough. I can never praise him enough for what he's done for me. Saved my soul from hell. Been a faithful companion as I've walked through this world. I just hate him so much. And I appreciate each one of you that's tuned in this morning. I trust that you have that same mindset. And if not, then I trust the Lord will open your eyes, reach down and touch your heart this morning, save you by his marvelous grace before it's too late. Well, let's get into the message now. Well, let me have a word of prayer first. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the broadcast and for the listening audience. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Most of all, went yonder to a cross and died in our place to save us from a place called hell. Gave us a new life and a new name in heaven. And, Lord, we thank you so much for all of that. Thank you for the blessings of the day. Thank you for a week that we had to be off and to just relax and to kick back and do a little catching up. Thank you, Lord, for all the goodness that you send our way every day. Forgive us when we fail you and when we are so weak and wicked. Lord, I pray you forgive us. Lord, I do ask today for one listening to the sound of my voice that's not saved, that this will be the day that you'll speak to that heart and bring them to an understanding of their need for a Savior. Lord, I do pray that you will take now control of this broadcast and use it in the way that pleases you and in a way that will glorify you. Heal those that are sick that need a touch from you. Help those who are distressed. Lord, I pray for our nation. I pray for Israel. I pray, Lord, for the whole situation that we're facing today. Give us grace, Lord, to stand and be faithful in these last days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we were looking still at the memorials that were set up there at Gilgal once Israel had crossed Jordan over into the Promised Land. And last week we were looking at the fact in Joshua chapter 5 that Joshua had circumcised all the men who had been born in the wilderness. The ones who were born in Egypt, of course, had been circumcised, but those who were born on the way had not been. And therefore, since all the older ones had been had long passed away, and it was now the newer generation that was over into the Promised Land, then they were not circumcised. And this was something God had specifically ordained and had commanded that the nation of Israel do that. And so we were looking at that last week, and just to refresh you, in chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 5, says, "Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey." And so we find that Joshua did, at that time, circumcise all of the men of war, all of the men who were of age to fight, and of the ability to fight. And so we said that that represented the cutting away of the flesh. And for them, it represented a step back into the will of God in obedience to God's command that this be done. And we said that for us, it talks about the cutting away of sin out of our lives and of cutting away our dominance by the flesh and by the sins of the flesh and passing over Jordan into the land of victory reminds us that that is what that represents to us. So it was a memorial to the reproach had been cut away. They were no longer slaves in Egypt. They were now a force to be reckoned with in the world. In finishing that up, we had referred to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, where it kind of defines New Testament circumcision and what it means. And Paul said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so it represents to us the cutting away or the putting away of the sin that besets us and running this race that God has put us in when he saved us by the grace of God. And in winding up that particular description, let me say this. There was a Scottish pastor of the 19th century by the name of Alexander White. And in talking about this thing about laying aside all of these weights and the sins that beset us, he prayed this. He said, "Lord, I give myself to thee, and whatever I cannot give, I invite you to take." And that was the attitude that this man had, was, "I want to be totally committed to you, Lord. If I have not given you everything in my life, I want you to feel free to take the things that you need to take to help me to lay aside all the things that would beset me." And so then as we move on, we look at also, it's not only a memorial to the reproach being cut away, but it was a memorial to relying totally upon God. If you look in chapter 5 and verse number 8, there in Joshua, where we were reading previously, you'll find that the Bible said it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now, can I tell you that right after this deed was done, no one was able to fight. No one was able to defend their camp. They were totally and completely reliable upon God. They were relying upon his protection because they were not able to protect themselves. They were vulnerable. They were in such a position that they could have been attacked by the enemy and could have been overrun. And if you think about the fact that Gilgal is only 8 miles from Jericho, and Jericho knew that Israel was coming, and they were had already said that they were scared to death of them. That was what Rahab had told those spies when she went in there, that the men's heart had melted at the because of what they had heard God had done for Israel coming through the wilderness and the battles they'd already won. And so a smart commander would have, I believe, in Jericho, have launched some kind of an attack upon Israel to have surprised them. And of course, he did not know what was going on in the camp right now, but had he been a smart commander and would have launched a counterattack before they were able to come in there, then he could have, at this particular time, they would have won that battle, would have eliminated most of the fighting men, if not all the fighting men of Israel, and would have defeated them. And yet they were depending completely upon God, Israel was, and they were not worried about it. They were not concerned about it. They were placed their safety, their security, and their future in the hands of Almighty God. And I can tell you that there's no safer place for anyone to do that. Our safety, our security, and our future is safe in the hands of God. Now, that doesn't always mean that we're going to prosper and do excellent in this world. In fact, in this world, we may have more trouble that way. But the thing is, our security is not in the things of this world. Our security and our safety is in that next world where we're going to go when life is over in this world. Friend, if you don't have the safety and security of knowing that that is already taken care of, that's already been addressed, that's already been settled, then, friend, I want to give you an encouragement to do just that. And, however, by not doing that, they were confident in their walls. And I have another series that I may follow up this one with, and it's about the conquest of Jericho, because after Gilgal, that was the next thing that Israel did in their march into the promised land, was they did take the city of Jericho and destroyed it. But these people, we're going to see in that study that these walls that they lived within were massive, and they were basically unable to be penetrated. There was no artillery in those days, no battering rams, nothing they could do to break those walls down. So the people were very much secure inside those walls. They were able to raise their food in there. They were able to, they had all the water supply in the world they could ever want. And so they wanted to, they just laid back and was secure in that false security. And it's kind of like Jacob's situation when things got turned around on him. Can I just go back to Genesis chapter 34 and tell you how that God's way of doing things just does not match our way? If you remember, Jacob was the man that God changed his name to Israel. He was the one that was the beginning of the nation of Israel. Every person that we're talking about in this expedition into Canaan was a descendant of Jacob. One man, Jacob. Jacob had been a trickster. He had been a liar. He had been a someone who was not, could not depend upon him to keep his word. He had fooled Laban more than one occasion. Then later on in his life, these chickens came home to rest. And that's what's about to happen to these people in Jericho. They've put their trust in those walls, and they believe that behind those walls they're safe and that nothing can touch them. Well, let me tell you, friend, there are a lot of people walking through this world today who feel safe and secure in their good works, in their moral life, in the good things they've done, or in various other things that I could name. I can't possibly name everything, because everybody just about has a different opinion of what they need to do to please God and to get to heaven. But I want to tell you, friend, that one day the chickens will come home to roost just like they did with Jacob. Now, what are you talking about? In Genesis chapter 34, we have the account of the fact that Jacob had a daughter named Dinah. You don't hear much about these Israel's daughters. You only hear about the sons. That's just the way their economy was. But he had daughters, and one of them's name was Dinah. And she was not content just to stay with the family there. She wanted to get out and mingle with the people of the land where they were camped. And so she did, and the king's son of that country saw her, and raped her. Then he fell madly in love with her. So he wanted to have her for his wife, and so his father went to Jacob and asked him to allow Dinah to marry his son, and proposed that they live in the land, marry their sons and daughters, and he offered a dowry of anything they asked. Well, now, Levi and Simeon were very, very upset and mad about what had been done here. So, they told the king, they said, King, if all the males will agree to be circumcised like we are, we will do what you suggest. We'll live here, we'll mingle with you, we'll marry your daughters, you can marry our daughters. Our daughters will marry your sons. And they all consented. They said, okay, we'll do that. So, they did that. And every male in that city, in that country, little kingdom there, was circumcised the same day. And when they were disabled, you read the account, Simeon and Levi went into the city and killed every male in that city. Then the other brothers went in and took all the spoils. They took women, they took children captive, and destroyed the city without Jacob's knowledge. He was being paid back for his trickster. These people in Jericho are about to reap a payday for their confidence in their walls and the lack of belief in what Jehovah God could do. Now, friend, I don't know what big wall you're hiding behind today. I don't know what it is you think that makes you safe and secure in where you're going when you die. Or, you know, so many people just don't ever let that thought cross their mind. Oh, I ain't going to worry about that till I get there. Well, friend, you don't know when you're going to get there. You don't know how soon that'll come. You don't know how fast it'll come. You don't know if you'll have time to get ready or not there at the very end. And so, as these men there in Jericho were safe and secure and more or less sound asleep in their belief that they were safe and secure, they did not suspect what was coming. And therefore, the chickens came home to roost on them. Just like with Jacob. Jacob had been a trickster all his life. And now, he's been tricked. And he had to, actually, I think he had to get up. I believe the story goes on. I've been a while since I read through it, but I believe that they had to get up and move because of that. Jacob was afraid to stay there. So, but it was all without Jacob's knowledge. It was all his tricksters, and he'd been paid back. So it's kind of like father, like son. And so then that particular batch of chickens was at home, and the ones at Jericho are just about to be at home. Jacob has done everything, Joshua has done everything now that he needs to do to prepare for this battle, because these are the things God has put on his heart. He's been obedient. He has cut away the reproach. He has got everybody circumcised, and they're now in compliance with the will of God, with the word of God, with the command of God, and they are now ready to face the battle. Now, folks, all of us are going to face a battle of one kind or the other. If we're saved, we're going to fight the battle every day with the flesh, the world, and the devil. But friend, if we allow God to, through the Holy Spirit, to cut away the reproach from our heart and take away these things that are displeasing to him and put us into the things that are pleasing to him, we will not have to worry about those chickens coming on the roost at the end of the way. Oh, I know that we will, as Christians, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and some of us will suffer loss. I have some losses I'm going to suffer. I know that. Nothing I can do about that now. That's all in the past and over with. I can only look ahead to the future to do what I can now for the Lord in whatever time I have left, and knowing that whatever I do is safe and secure, not behind the walls of Jericho, but yonder in the care of a loving God and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you're hiding behind the wall of religion, it's not going to save you in the last day. If you're hiding behind the wall of good works, it won't be enough. Whatever, my friend, that you think you are going to get into heaven with, I can tell you one thing. The only thing that will get you through the gates of heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your heart by repenting of your sins and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and forsaking all other methods and clinging only to Him for your salvation. Friend, there's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way. I am the truth and I am the life. He will give you life because He is truth, and there's only truth in, there's only life in His truth. And friend, if you've not been to Calvary, if you've never come to the place to understand you were lost, if you've never been saved, I want to invite you today that in the closing minute of this broadcast, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you just humble your heart? You may not be in a position where you can kneel. You don't have to. As long as in your heart you're humble and you're praying to God and sincerely want to be saved, sincerely sorry for your sins, ask Him to save you, and I know He will. Father, as we close this broadcast out, I pray that this message will go deep to the heart of someone that needs to be saved. Lord, I pray that You'll save them this morning. I pray, Lord, for the saints that are listening. I pray that the broadcast has been a blessing to them and a help to them. Now, Lord, go with us through the rest of this week. Bless each one that's listening. Help us, Lord, as we carry on day to day to be pleasing to You. Cut away those reproaches that displease You out of our life. We ask all this in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Now may God bless you and keep you safe until we meet again.